Luke wondered this morning if I have a bucket full of stuff to share for the message. In some ways, yes. This is one of those messages that hasn't really felt like it came together as well, but I trust that God will give us a bucket full of blessing. I'd like to start by turning to 2 Corinthians 3. As I was thinking about a theme, a title for this message, I started out with the thought of a title, the Case for a Glass House. I'm going to title it something more like a life that can manifest God. Because that's what the glass house is supposed to do. It's supposed to allow people to see into our lives and see God glorified. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 3 at this time. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. And that verse right there stood out to me. Paul is saying, you're kind of like the Bible being preached. It's the letters we write, they're lived out in you. And I was just wrapping my mind around the thought that, you know, when we live life, we're showing something. Something is going out. Okay, let's continue reading. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So many times when I've preached a council message, I've honed in on personal inspection. I'm not going to as much this morning. I'm going to take a broader sweep. What is your life communicating? I want to look first at God's glory, and as we look through these verses, help us to catch the burden that our lives are supposed to be an open manifestation of God's glory. I have this bucket right here. How many of you know what's in the bucket? It has, so far, it has not been an open manifestation. It's hidden. It's filled with things, but it's hidden. Looking on, you don't know what's there. actually inside of here is a light. But in the bucket, you probably didn't see it. I mean, maybe you saw its reflection, but you probably didn't see it. I'd like to think about the light as being the glory of God. And I probably should have brought a spotlight or something like that, but I didn't feel like it would be real practical for the illustration. I would like us to think about, what are we doing with that glory of God? Think of this bucket as you. What's around the light as you. Paul says what we taught, what we wrote, is lived out in you. And you know, the Corinthians had a choice, as do all people. What we hear, do we live it out? Do we make it manifest? That word actually comes up several times in here, manifest. In other words, it's known, it's easily seen. Verse 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. So he's saying here that they are openly being called the epistle of Christ. But it's because it was written in their hearts, and they had their hearts manifest. They were open with their hearts. Now, verse 5, we have here that in ourselves we are insufficient. And it doesn't clarify a lot, but you know, as we look at life, we talked a little bit about the impossibilities here in the testimony period. There are many things that are impossible for us to do to attain on our own power. Of ourselves, we're insufficient, but sufficiency is of God. So, this source of light is where we get our sufficiency from. God is where we get our sufficiency from. According to verse 5, he does ask people to move into the Bronx that don't know how to exist in the Bronx. According to verse 5, he does do that. According to verse 5, he does arrange a congregation to do jobs that are bigger than the congregation. Verse 5 says he does that. The sufficiency is not in us, it's in God. According to this, he puts school demands on a congregation that might be too big for the congregation themselves. You know, he does that. But the sufficiency is of God. He answers those needs. He finds ways. He knows how those needs are going to be met. And as we step out in faith, he can work. And I want to, I'm just going to change this here a little bit. Check this all out beforehand, but I think it all fits together. So through here, I can see light. As we let that light work out from us, we can be those who, in the power of God, are able to spread his cause, are able to glorify his name, are able to be read of men so that God can be seen. He says here in verse 6, he has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away. Verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? So I want to take us back to the story of Moses. God told him to gather Israel together, bring them around Mount Sinai, set up bounds that say where they can go, how far they can go. He said, on the day appointed, I'm going to call you up into the mountain, and it dare only be you that comes. The children of Israel dare not come through those bounds. And why did he set those bounds? Because of his glory. The children of Israel were about to witness something in a way that they had never seen it before. God was, so to speak, going to pull the veil off of some of his glory so that they could see something they never saw in that way before. They had seen the glory of God before, but this was a new manifestation of the glory of God. And most of us would know the story. Moses was up on the mountain with God for a long time. When he came back down, it says his face had such a glow that the children of Israel could not look at him until he put a veil on his face. This is the glory that is being referred to here in these three verses, 6, 7, and 8. That's part of the glory of the Old Covenant. I also think about how much detail went into the creation of the tabernacle. It was immaculate. And then later on, as the tabernacle was retired and the temple built, again, a lot of detail went into that. It was an immaculate building. Something that I guess today we would call it a tourist attraction, because we like to go see the things that just stand out. And this was one of those standout attractions. He's saying here that was the ministration of death. That was a time where God showed his glory, but it was going to end in death. And he says the ministration of life is much more glorious. Oftentimes we'll talk about how the children of Israel as a group did not necessarily have the blessing of the Spirit individually in their lives. And that's part of the ministration of glory. We have the Spirit of God in our lives. So when people look at you today, you need to be in a glass house, if I may use that term, so that they can see right through you to the God that drives you. I think of various situations in life, either personally or with people that I worked with, where there was things that were hidden. For a long time, and this is somewhat translucent, intentionally. You know, maybe you see a form in their lives. Maybe you see an exterior that looks right, that looks fine. And yet many times as you relate to them, you can just feel, I don't have the full picture on this life. And I have to think about, and again, look at my life, I look at other individuals that have been blessed by in the past, when they came to the place of peeling off the outside, what was hiding the light of Christ, just revealing who self really was and getting that out of the way, just the glory, the tremendous blessing that comes out of that. And that's the underlying burden of my message this morning. You know, we have this choice. We make this choice many times every day. am I going to live behind a cover? Or am I going to live in transparency? When we try to live life ourselves, when we try to shine out our own glory, that's what we have. Or it becomes this, where after a while you really cannot see into the spirit of the individual. You really cannot see God shining forth through them. And these might be individuals that are still going to church every Sunday, that are sitting on the benches, that are dressing right, talking right. But when you look at them, something, the glory of God in their lives is either obscured or hidden. Maybe the candle's completely gone out in their lives. Verse 9, just kind of reiterates this. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. And as I look at this, this comparison of the old covenant to the new, it says there was glory there. But when you compare it to the glory that we have in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the glory that we can experience, the godly glory, this glory was nothing. He says, the ministration of righteousness exceeds in glory. Okay, I'm going to continue on here with verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. I'm just going to pause there. He says, we have this great hope. What is the great hope that we're talking about? Isn't that what we're looking forward to celebrating next Sunday? Salvation through Jesus. And you know, that hope came at a cost. And that's specifically what we want to remember next Sunday. We have that great hope because Jesus was willing to suffer. Jesus was willing to die, even though there was nothing that he did to merit that. And we touched on that quite a bit here in our English Sunday School class this morning. We have a hope. We have something to look forward to, something to cling to. If you see a person whose life looks like this, many times it's because they've lost the hope. And so now they've taken to maybe protecting themselves, is a word expression we hear sometimes. They've taken to fighting their own battle. On the contrary, one of the children to tell me, if you would take a stone from off the edge of the street somewhere and throw it at this bucket, what would happen? Well, that's not such a hard question. Just a little stone. What would happen if you threw it at this bucket? Micah, it'd probably just bounce off. And you know, that's what, if this is what somebody's manifesting in their life, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to bounce the darts off. They're trying to let what's outside not penetrate inside. Now, if you took the same stone and threw it at this, what would happen? If you threw it at this, what would happen? Becca. It would break. As we looked at our Sunday school lesson this morning, we didn't focus on this part. We probably will more next Sunday, but Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He allowed himself to be broken. He allowed himself to be broken so that the light of the purpose of God could shine through. And you know, today, it is very vulnerable, just like it was for Jesus. It is very vulnerable to be transparent. Because now everybody else can see in there. They can see if you don't handle that light just right. They can see if that light's getting a little dim. They can see that. But you know, that's a blessing. Because I come back to what we read here in the beginning. The sufficiency is not in us, but the sufficiency is of God. You know, many times God uses human brothers and sisters to help us to be sufficient in his kingdom. The sufficiency is of God. These verses here talk about how there is a veil upon the heart of the children of Israel when they read the Old Testament. It says there's a veil there, is not really penetrating the heart. They are shielding, there's something they're doing that is shielding themselves from that penetrating their heart. And you know, this morning, you and I are faced with the very same temptation. And I for one, have fallen to that temptation at times. Just to shield what's in the heart. But we daren't. Because when we do that, we are blocking the glory of God. We're not allowing it to shine. We're not allowing it to be that light that he wants to be. It says their minds were blinded. I think maybe this is a verse we're going to read later, but there comes a time when we put that veil there that we actually obscure our understanding as well. We set our worldview on different parameters. And eventually, if that course continues, we walk to a different drummer. That veil was humanly placed. And it was not permitting the light to get into their lives to be a reflection. This example falls really short in that we don't contain the light per se. Yes, we have the Spirit of God, but that is just, Jesus said that's the earnest of our expectation. That's just, I think maybe that was Paul's wording. That is just a down payment. The presence of God shining through us is just a down payment of the glory of God that we will one day be partakers of if we continue to walk with God here. Verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Heard a couple of messages recently about the liberty in Christ. And I want to say, this is where the liberty is found, not in this. This is a prison. This is hiding the real you inside and guarding yourself so that you do not reveal it to the outside. This is where the liberty is found. When you know that everybody is looking on and seeing inside, and they're going to see what kind of spirit is there, it's a help to make decisions day after day that are going to be for the glory of God. And you know, as we do that, we have nothing to hide. As we do that, we want to shine forth the glory that is in the inside and shed it out. And in every case where I've seen somebody that just took the walls from around their heart and started breaking them down, you know, now a good aim could take a stone and break that jar, right? Still somewhat protected. It's a road of progression. It's a road that somebody has to work through. And as a result of daily choices, they deliberately break down the walls around their heart. That's what we're called to do. Any walls that are around our heart, we are called to break down. We're called to tear that veil away. And when the wall's gone, and you know that you're doing the best that you can to follow God, that's freedom. That's freedom. Now there's nothing to hide. There's no reason for me working on building that wall. And by the way, when that wall's there, it's going one way or the other. Either it's getting bricks on top of it, or else it's getting bricks torn off of it. It's not just a stationary wall. So you are working at something in your life. You're working at either growing a wall or tearing a wall down. The case for a glass house, or revealing the glory of God through us. I want us to hear this loud and clear, that this is the freedom. The life that is open. I don't know if I can. I keep seeing people craning around. This is a bit of an angle. I think it'll stay there. That's the freedom. Containing the light of God in glass, in clarity, in clearness. Manifesting it, showing it out. Just allowing others to look in and see what's there. I want to turn to James chapter 1. Wish I'd have had a little more time for this part here, but I see I'm running out of time anyway. James chapter 1, I'm just going to read verses 21 to 26. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, in a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way and immediately forgets what manner of man he is. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I'm just going to stop there for now. Two main points I want to bring out of this passage here. Number one, the things we do that build the wall. And he's kind of summed it up here, just filthiness, naughtiness. And being a hearer and not a doer. I said before that that wall is being built brick by brick. It does not build overnight. You can look at a little child, and as they're developing, you can see their character is either developing one way or another. Either the foolishness, the naughtiness is being dealt with, and they're growing in character, or else it's an increase. You just see more and more of the mischievousness, we call it sometimes. He's saying, we got to lay that aside. We've got to lay these things aside. And the other thing he brings out is being the person that hears and then just goes out and lives his life. You know, that person's going to wind up having a bushel over top of their light. The person that hears and does not do. I think these are both, we could spend a lot of time on practical ways that these things happen. But I don't have time. My challenge that I want to let is we need to be those that are living out and allowing to express out of our lives the glory of God. And the things that detract from it, we need to actively being laying it apart, he calls. Just, if that's part of me, over there. Just, it's got to go. It's a growing work. And this right here is why we are having this service this morning. Because we have those tendencies. We have the carnal flesh. We have the carnal desires. We have those desires to please ourselves. And we can easily fall to those with small choices. It doesn't need to be that I'm going out and choosing today to steal somebody's wallet. It usually comes in smaller choices, and sometimes very subtly. Sometimes we make these choices not all that consciously. And so we're calling ourselves this morning to consciously, actually, we're calling ourselves to up to now to consciously be looking into our hearts, what's there, so that we can share with our brothers what is there. He says, this kind of a man, the kind of a man that is not growing, is the kind of man that at the beginning of the morning, he looks in the mirror, he says, okay, move the hair around or whatever, or wash my face a little. He leaves that, and the rest of the day, he just forgets what he's like. And I think as humans, we're tempted with that. I know I am. To look into he goes on to say, and this will be the next part of the message, the answers for being an effective mirror of God's glory. He says, look into the perfect law of liberty. And verse 27, he goes on to say, the actions that are going to count are loving the unfortunate and keeping ourselves, actually love, not just the unfortunate, but that's what he listed here, the fatherless and widows, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You know, as I do those, I can leave a testimony. I can show forth the glory of God. This morning, I trust that we've already been examining our hearts, we've been examining our lives, and that this morning as we get together, we are just merely sharing that, sharing what we've found in those examinations. And I preach this to myself, because I am that feeble human that tends to just look in the mirror once in a while and say, where am I? What am I like? But God wants us to examine. He wants us to know what's inside. He wants us to keep that, all the space in here, committed to Him. You know, we could put this light in. We could fill it with a few other things around the light, and we block the light. We need to let all that space open for God to shine His light in there. Both so that we and others see what's there, and so that the glory of God reflects out to those around us. So in a few minutes, as members, we're going to be going down to the basement, and we're going to be telling each other what's in my heart. And I trust that we can do that openly and honestly, that God's glory can be manifested. With these thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.